Freya and build it into End of War with a story. I'm watching Mahabharata, Krishna in Vrindavan, playing with friends and family. How beautiful. Description we find there of us being able to and allowed to have any kind of loving relationship with God, not just as menial, humble servants praying and offering sacrifices, but as friend, as parent even, and so on. I mean, and then what we learned from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that I've been speaking about here, Sanatana Goswami, at least that's the picture I see there. But on your way to the highest, you know, heavens and beyond, the nirvana, mukti, and beyond, Vaikuntha, and beyond, then we are suddenly back on earth. In the little village there, which is not so small anymore, but Vrindavan, where Krishna, a little boy, coward boy, is having fun with his friends and family. And in other words, that such a humble earthly place is even higher than heaven and the spiritual world, or in terms of Vaikuntha. And then, from there, you go further to Goloka. And I thought, why, how is Goloka the ultimate, highest, most fantastic, beautiful realm of God? Can't be forms like we have here. That's some kind of anthropomorphic idea we have created, that picture there of Goloka as people and cows and trees and grass, like we have here, and flowers and all that. But the way I always understood it is that it's the other way. That this world we are in now, this earthly realm, looks like this because it's a picture of, an image of, a reflection of that real world of Goloka. Which is, well, a realm of the spiritual, part of the spiritual realm, but the most, the sweetest, the highest in that sense, but not high in the kind of sublime, elevated, royal sense, but in that humble sense that you even find here on earth, which is in the realm of Maya, temporary material bodies and things, right? So I thought, or it kind of struck me right now that, yes, that's what this physical world, this Bhurloka, this material world is about, it is so attractive because it is a very good virtual reality copy of the real world, Goloka. So we have Vrindavan on Earth. It's like a VR version of the real Vrindavan. And whatever we see here, we don't have to be disappointed by losing. But a much higher reality sense, much more real, completely real and lasting. And we realize when we are back there, or woken up again, you could say, that this, well, we got kind of a little carried away and lost, maybe even, or at least very fascinated by that virtual game there. And the reason why it's so good, the reason why it's so attractive is that, yeah, it's very realistic. But here, why does it exist? Because we all have the ability and the freedom to dream up anything we want to do and be. That's what's going on here. And by doing that, we learn. Oh, we are back again. Oh, look how I treated you there. I learned something from that, and so on. And that's the dynamics of existence. We always learn more. We always find more. There's always an adventure waiting for us. You never reach that end point where you just sit there and now I'm happy, there's nothing more to do, and because then you are bored. So it's a fantastic world, and this is part of it. This is not non-existent, as some Buddhists say. This is not useless, as some Mayavadis say. It's something to be shunned. Rather, it is part of God's Leela, pastimes, and all we need to do to get back to reality is to see that. See what it is. And it doesn't matter if we sit with our VR game gear on and serve Krishna in that way and be or together that way, and we may decide to just hang in there to help out a little bit to those who are there when they get too lost, or to learn more and more and more. That's the beauty of existence.